Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, my name is Kyle, and welcome to The Conversation. Today in The Conversation, we're going to discuss the Indy 500, the Coca-Cola 600. We're actually going to also want to get into this. It's a month old, but there's new finds in Obama tax. I'll explain that and more. The conversation will begin right now. Psalms 18:32-34. The God who equipped me with strength and made me and made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set my secure on height. He trains my hands for war so that my arms cannot bend a bow of bronze. Think about that kind of thing going through day to day. Welcome to this Memorial Day program, and big shout out to my dad, President Swan Guard, Coast Guard, and to all those who have served, past, present, and future. Those who have served and given their life, thank you so much. It means the world to us. And my girlfriend is right next to me as I'm doing my program today, so we're going to give a shout out to her since she's right next to me. But I want to get started with something that I saw this morning. That so many people, even people on the right, don't get this. Okay. When they did the law, when they went to court over this, Obamacare is not a law. It is a tax. That's where they can legally change it over and over and over and over and over again. So these people that are on Fox or whatever on these conservative shows, and they're like, yeah, this is like the 30th time he's changed this law, and he just can't change it anymore. Well, yeah, he can, because when they went to the Supreme Court over it, they went into it as a tax. I mean, like I said on my previous programs, you can take a tutu and force people to wear pink tutus and blue tutus, and if you don't, there's going to be a tax associated with it. And guess what? As long as they put it as a tax, anyone can be forced to do it. But if you're in a business, let's say you're IBM or Mac or like University Place, where I went, they all of a sudden said, you know what, we don't want to provide health care, and we do right now, we don't want to provide health care anymore, I'm going to take more stuff, we're going to throw you to the exchanges. You can be fined if you have the ability to give your employer's insurance and you have that, and you want to say, well, we want to save money with our company, and we want to have them go and set up a health care plan through the exchanges, we're going to throw them out to the dogs. Guess what? You can be fined now. Isn't that just wonderful? It's just, I mean, I love it. I don't know how, I mean, but like, the big thing I wanted to get into is this poll, because I have friends that are basically like, if it doesn't affect me, why do I care? Why should I vote? Nothing ever changes. Well, you know what? Yeah, if I vote for John McCain and he craps on me, I can say, hey, what? I can bitch because I voted for the man. How can you say if you don't vote or don't know what's going on, how can you sit there and complain about anything that goes on? Because you didn't even if you don't like Republicans and you're a Democrat, I know a lot of Democrats that are kind of, though, in the end, they'll be like, you know, you're screwed no matter who you get. I still think Democrats are better, but, you know, I don't think anything changes. You know, I thought, okay, we got Obama in the White House. At least we got change. At least we got, not change, but per se, a cheerleader that's going to rally us like JFK did. But like they said the one election night, they said no one in this day and age can get elected on the premise of ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. That's why when that town in Ohio, that factory moved away and they lost all their jobs and all this, when Glenn Beck went there, he wasn't wanting to see a pity party. He was literally, they got a church, not a church, I call it a church, but it is a food pantry up by the church. They literally, every day they get up and they put their hands on the shelves and they pray to God to fill the shelves. They don't rely on government donations. They've always got that those shelves filled. Why? Like the Ray Stevens song said, if 10% is good enough for God, it should be good enough for the government. You know? But they just rely on God, and they have a room that's 24 hours a day. You can go in there. It's a prayer, like a meditation room. He's like, I'm not here to pity you for, I'm here to encourage you and to say, hey, look at what you're doing. Why can't the rest of this country follow your lead and say, okay, you know what? When they had those in 2009, those five-hour lines and people fighting, standing there stabbing each other to get this piece of paper that I might be able to get assistance with housing if I get one of these pieces of paper. Why don't you say, okay, give me the piece of paper, I'm ripping it up. Okay, we're gonna sit there and we're gonna get donations, we're gonna get people, we're gonna do fundraisers, and we're gonna build our own housing, and we're gonna do it ourselves. You know, that's why when you have a Habitat for Humanity house, what do you have to do? You have to work on it. You have to build it because you're going to be more appreciative and taking care of something that you put your own two hands on instead of, okay, here's a dollar. You know, you teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. You give him a fish, you feed him for a day. You know, you teach a man how to build something and he makes it. Part of him is now in that product. I have pants that are like 25 different pieces of fabric patched together. They're funny as hell, but they mean the world to me because I've made them and they have my spirit in them. I have my energy in them. And that's what Native Americans say. Like, if you build something, part of you is now involved in that product. And more people would take care of stuff if they actually had to make it and be a part of it and do it instead of just, okay, well, you know, what am I getting? I mean, seriously, next time I do this, because I know I have like 40 sub listeners out there, next time you see someone that has a sign saying, you know, I'm dealing with hard times, you know, take a business card and say, here you go. If you need work, 9 times out of 10, they won't do it. Why? Because they know they can just sit there and get probably more money an hour just begging than actually working. So it's just one of those things that just drives me nuts, you know. Like, I almost just want to sit there and do it too, you know. Who wouldn't want to sit there and just sit on the street corner with a sign and make, you know, $20 an hour just doing that? But then you have to look at it like this, okay? Like, my sister went into a bank, and this is a true story. Somehow they started again talking about the Affordable Tax Act, and this guy's like, oh, this is great. My sister goes, who's going to pay for it? What do you mean? Yeah, this Affordable Care, who's paying for all this? Well, I never thought of it like that. Holy cow. Yeah, I just put a bunch of stuff on my credit card and I didn't know where the money was coming from, so, oh, wow. Guess what? When I used my credit card at the end of the month, Melissa gave me the bill. I'm like, well, I didn't expect to have this. My dad does that a lot when we go to restaurants, so I didn't order the check. That's my dad, though. Got my girl laughing. It's the truth. That's how my dad is. My dad's only... But my dad's like a military man that grew up like, okay, he'll drive around for 6 hours to find a place with no weight. I'm like, well, of course. You want to go to a place with no weight? I wonder what the food's like because no one's going there. But he has this military mentality. You know, if you don't do it right, don't do it at all. Well, I guess I'm not going to do it. No, well, you're going to learn how to do it right. That ain't no crappy... No. He'll make you do it, you know. I remember one time when I was in high school, I came home, and I'm partying and stuff, like 5 a.m., and get ready to open the door. My dad's opening the door to go out, and he goes, wow, you're up before I am. Cool, let's go to work. And I got in the truck with him and went to work all day, and, you know, and I tell some stories about my dad, but it is Memorial Day weekend, and without him, we wouldn't have the ability to have what freedoms we do have. They're diminishing, yes, but we still have, you know, you're not probably going to go to jail for posting a YouTube video against Obama. You technically could if it's threatening him in a way, but...
Yes.
But, I mean, it's just one of those things. Now we're going to move on to something that's really near to me. The Indy 500 and the Coca-Cola 600. Sad day yesterday. And it's no one's fault, but Jimmy Johnson wins the 600, and Kurt Busch, who uses the same engines, his car gave out. So did, Danica's first car, and Happy Harvick's car. What would have made my day is to see Kurt Busch finish all 100 miles. It didn't matter whether he came in first or 50th, you know, what he did it for to help wounded warriors and veterans. I wish they could have just given him, okay, here's another car just to go out and keep going. We're not scoring you anymore, but just to go out and do it. Just to say you did it, you know, just for the troops. You know, just to, you know, because that's what it was really all about, you know, giving back and his website. And if you go to KurtBushDouble.com, I think it is, look that up, like Kurt Busch Double. There's a website you can donate and give back to the troops. They had a thing at the 500 where there was a bell, and you could put $1, $5, $10, and put money in, and when you did that, you got to ring the bell in honor of someone, past, present, or future. I did it for my dad, and it was just cool to ring the bell. And they had, like, at the Sammy Hagar concert, they had people that were handing out buckets, and you could put money in there, and I put in a couple bucks, and it's all to help some of those people, because I just feel, imagine how fast laws would change if the government had to go to the VA to get health care. You know how quickly they would change stuff if they got 21 bucks an hour? And if they got 21,000 a year, look at how fast those congressmen and senators would be changing stuff around. And it's just a great weekend, because, I mean, it's fun for the race, but it's not, we're not celebrating barbecue. You know, it's not a National Barbecue Day. It's a giving thanks for the people that have sacrificed everything and lost all so that I can do my radio show and have people complain or disagree with me. I hope you disagree with me. Like, you know, because then I'm not getting a diverse audience if I have every single person kiss my ass. You know, but it's just one of those things that when you look at life as a whole, I mean, Ryan Hunter Ray won the race in the Indy 500, and it's just one of those things that I didn't expect. I mean, he had a good car, but, you know, I just wanted to see him. My man, Marco, and I want to see Marco Andretti, he's not my man, but I want to see him win just because they have gone, granted, you know, the car owner is Mario Andretti for Ryan Hunt Ray, but just to see family win that race is something that I don't care who you are, if Marco Andretti were to win that race, it'd be like when Dale Seaman won it. I mean, that's how it was, like, I mean, Tony Kahn's one of those people, too, that when he won it last year, it didn't matter who you are, you were caring for him because he's so deserving of that. And I want to give a shout-out to IndyCar as a whole. And I'm going to tell you why. We were in line at, like, 150 or 140, 150 for a 3 o'clock autograph session, and we're getting near the door, and, of course, this Indianapolis Motor Speedway guy's like, well, bro, Firestone owns this tomorrow, we got to clean this, we got to get this ready for them. You're not probably not going to be able to get in, but whatever. And, you know, and it was for 4:30 the session, it was for 4:15, he was like shutting it down. I swear he's like a drill sergeant telling us what's going on. And there's a bunch of us who are like, okay, it's like a 4:30. You know, if there's a fight or something, I understand, but what the heck. And lo and behold, drivers got wind of it, and they said, and to everyone in that line that stood here, I'm not leaving. And they had drivers that signed. These are some old drivers, you know, some from the past. We actually got to meet Janet Guthrie, the first woman driver from the 70s. It wasn't Sarah Fisher, it was Danica Patrick. Sorry to get your panties in water. He thought that one of them two were the first Emmy card driver as a female. No, it was Shannon Dempsey back in the 70s. But when they got wind of that, they're like, no, these people stood around like they did. We're going to be here until everyone goes through. And there was the guy that was that time, like, five IndyCar, like cards. They're like baseball cards, but they had the drivers on them. And, you know, like, remember the cards, and he signed them. And, you know, they went out of their way. And what was really cool is, I forget the guy's name. And I wish I could remember it, but I'm like, you know, who do you want to have one? I said, well, I'd love to have Dario Franchitti, but, you know, I don't think the pace car can, you know, win the race. So I said, I want my man, Alex Tagliani, to win. He goes, why do you say that? Because I'm his manager. I'm like, that was so cool to meet his manager and stuff. Because if you don't know, he's doing stuff in the Canadian NASCAR series, and he's got a deal now with Pfizer Pharmaceuticals and stuff. And he's really, because he's very allergic to tree nuts and peanuts, and he's trying to get the word out about allergies, because most people don't realize if you have a product and it doesn't say it contains peanuts, but it's produced in a facility, you can potentially kill someone because they'll look it down and say, hey, it doesn't say anything about peanuts on there. No, and he's really trying to get the word out, at least in Canada, up there about allergens and stuff and how serious they can be, and I think it's really neat what he's doing. But, I mean, it was one of the best races I've seen in IndyCar. It was like in 100 laps until they had the first caution. It was going to a record pace until they had cautions at the end. And another thing they did that was really, really great is near the end of the race, they red flagged that instead of having them keep going under caution, they said, we're going to red flag this race. That way we can have the last 8 laps or 6 laps, you know, be, well, it was 8 laps to the end, but then with the 2 caution laps, I think it was like 6, they let them race. And it was really, really, I think, a good thing on their part. They didn't, I mean, they could have just said, okay, we're just going to, it's not that bad. We'll just caution it, and they can go around, and, you know, so they actually did something right for a change. And they red flagged the race and kept it so that they could actually race to the end. And another thing that was really, really hard to see was, I never thought it was going to come, but yesterday was the last time Jim Neighbors was saying back home again in Indiana at the 500. And just like God Bless America by Phil Henderson, whether you like it or not, her voice or whatever, they're icons. They're staples. They've done it so long. I mean, the 1 year that he was sick and couldn't make it from Hawaii, they just had fans sing it. They didn't even put anyone in the place. And I think they should do that with, like, a tape recording of Jim Neighbors in the background. He made it special. And if you're going to keep that song in the opening of the 500, that's what I think you need to do, because to me, you're never going to expect to see anyone else do that. You know? It's like the King and I. Who do you expect to see when you see the King and I? Yul Brynner. If you saw an actor do it with hair, you know, granted, the King and I, nowhere in there does it, look at the book. Does it say anywhere that the King had hair? No, but you just assume since Yul Brynner did that role how many millions of times, you expect to see a man with no hair. You expect to see him in the role. I mean, you expect to see, you know, Gomer Pyle up there, golly! I'm not good doing Bob Bad, but I do a better moment. Anyways, you know, you take and you expect to see him there, and it's going to be an empty void. But at least he left and not like, okay, well, you know, in between years of him doing it, he died. You know, at least he left, and hopefully he'll come back, maybe as a fan, a spectator. That's pretty cool. I mean, the Cokes are trying to, as a fan, watching one race and then watching the other, I listen to it on the radio, I can't imagine driving that let alone, I mean, because you really, when one race is over, you're helicoptered, then you're planed, and you're flown there, and you're given IV bags, and, you know, 20 minutes nap, and then next thing you know, you're at the Coke 600, and if it took a long time to do the 500, if it was like a big red flag or something, you might not be able to do the 600, but when you got there, okay, you're landing, and you got two bags of IV fluid in you, and you got to pee real bad, that's okay, you better get to the car, man, they've already got the cars going around, you know, whatever. But if they were already going around the track, they'd probably just have someone start the race, because they'd have no choice. But, you know, his car gave out, you know, a bunch of Hendrick Motors engines went to Jimmy Johnson's. Oh, God, why wouldn't his fail? Why couldn't he have a tire go down and hit the wall? Why isn't he lucky? You know, I mean, they didn't say, from what I could tell, that it's a coincidence, but when you have, like, RCR motor or a, you know, Jack Roush motor, or you have a Hendrick motor, if three people have an issue, you can kind of assume that if they're losing cylinders, it's the same thing in every car. Safe to say that. Now, why it couldn't happen to Johnson, I have no idea. I don't like the guy. I'm honest with you. I hate him. I don't like him. You know, I'm a Brian Bickers fan. I've always gone for the kind of underdog, the one that no one expects to do much, and he's doing incredible. You know, he's very high up there in the point standings. So, I mean, it's been a good season so far, I think, in NASCAR. I mean, it's been exciting. It's just, I like it when they don't try to change the rules a lot, because when you sit there and you look at, like in 2004, when Jeff Gordon, when they changed the points on him, he should have been the champion, but mid-season they changed the points. Okay, if this is how you're told you're going to be scored, they should keep it till the end. And then, once the season's over, if you want to change, change. You know, if you want to do stuff to the car, you know, change it after the season, not before. Yeah. Say, okay, this is what was wrong with this season. How can we fix it for next year? And so then, okay, we're going to try to do stuff. You know, we're going to try to, like, change stuff mid-season. Okay, well, I've been racing this way because that's how you score points, and now, nope. And that's just what annoys me. It's like they did that, and I'm like, Jeff Gordon should have won that. And Jeff's like, well, you know what, you got to race by the points. I'm like, well, yeah, but it screwed you completely. But it's just, yeah, I get kind of, motorsports is my thing, and just something that really gets me going. And, like, I think Graham Rahal would have had a great car yesterday if it wasn't for the fact that something mechanically was shutting his engine off. And that must really get to you when you have no idea what's causing your car to shut down all the time, but hey, it is. And you basically are screwed because you have no way to fix it. You know, they would manually get it going, and then it would just get a couple laps in it. Bang. You know, and it's like when you go back to the Grand Prix and you had Sebastian Tavager, and, you know, like when they had the stalled start and stuff happened there, and there's nothing you can do. When you had the clutch in and you had to put on the gas and you let up in the clutch and it don't go, what can you do? You know, like I said last week, you said it, you know, like 2 weeks ago, you're going to do something like that, do a Lamar start. That way, if you get around, you're going. If you can't go, then you're stuck and you won't hit anything. Then they can try to figure out how to get you going. That way, at least you can, you might be down a half a lap or so, but you can get back. And, oh man, it was just it's an exhausting weekend. I'm getting in at like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, going to bed, and then getting up at 8. And especially at the racetrack, you get up super early so you can get there. Even though you're camping there just because of issues with, like, last year at 9 o'clock in the morning, people were in line and still hadn't got their, till the race had already started, and people were up in arms, and I knew people going this year that didn't realize that stuff had changed. I'm like, it changed last year because of the Russian bombing. They now they have, like, ECS or ECG security that goes through and checks all the bags and stuff. Well, they used to do that before, and this was just more scrutinizing now. But, you know, I mean, I'm glad for it. I don't mind that. Just, so I knew some people that didn't realize that they changed it, and yeah, you had to pay for the infield amount and some things. And so it's just one of those things that that's kind of, you know, there's going to be some changes going on and things that happen. And it's a great time. I mean, for the most part, yeah, there's some people that get pretty wild and crazy out there at night on Saturdays. But, you know, as long as you maintain your composure and stuff, it's pretty tame. It's not as bad as it can be. But it's a great time just going out there and hanging out with the people and, you know, juggling, whatever, just doing this. It's just a nice, relaxing, get-out-of-the-way weekend. And it's good, but then you got to sit there and get kids right back into reality. Okay, now I'm back to my show. I got work. That's tomorrow. That's fine. I mean, but then you realize, okay, yeah, that's what I do for a living. I don't take an RV up to a racetrack and live there. Right? But that kind of gets old. I mean, I don't know. I guess it would be boring if you had like millions of dollars and didn't have to work. I'd have to do something. You know, even if it's, you know, cook or something. Even if I'm going to open up a diner, then it should be fun to do. Like an old school diner. Those are fun. We have like the guys back there. Okay, number two. Two number sixes. A three over easy.
Kiss my
drinks on the side. You know, but it's just hard to believe how fast life goes. So this is Melissa's, it was her first 500. I think she had, I think she got the goosebumps and the old saying, all it takes is one time and you're hooked. And then it's like Howard Stern. Why do people listen to him? Because they wonder what he'll say next. Well, what do the haters say? Same thing. They wonder what he'll say next. You know, you go and you always wonder what's going to happen next. And it's just seeing the cars go around. It's not just doing a left turn. It's not going in circles. It's seeing them side drafting and bump drafting and three wide. And, you know, and I just wish one thing. I'm gonna post this comment on their website. But I think they need to make the Indy Lights race like 50 laps. I got about 90 seconds on my show, but they need to make, even if they do like a pit stop, just to get the lights drivers to be able to do, like, even if it's like, okay, you have to change four tires no matter what. Even if you can make it all the way on gas, just to make it throw an element into the race, just to make it, I mean, granted, the races are incredible. I mean, they're almost more exciting than the 500, even though there's not as many drivers, but just when you sit there and it's three wide at the end, and it's like, you know, 55/1000th of a second between first and second and third. I mean, when you think about that, I'll kind of end with this. You know, like I said on my last show, 5 seconds would be the difference between first place qualifying and not even being close to being in the race. It's, I think, 2.5 seconds is the actual space between the time of the first place qualifier and the last place qualifier. What do you do to that car to get that 55/1000th of a second? Because you go like, okay, that's first place and fifth place. And in between those two hits, there's 4 of the cars crossing the finish line, 3 of the cars, whatever. It's just, how do you get that much speed? Yeah, that's what makes it so exciting, because every year is different. You never know what's going to happen. Thank you so much for listening. God bless you all. Great Memorial Day, and have a great day. Bye-bye.